This week, we had Alana DeBester from the Hispanic Liaison on the air yesterday to talk about this, but this is something that has been dominating the public attention, not just here locally, but across the country. Recently, in North Carolina, there's been a spike in ICE raids with a couple of hundred people arrested across the state, and some of those raids have taken place in and around the Triangle. Last weekend, El Centro Hispano and the Hispanic Liaison joined together to create a fundraiser campaign called Liberation Not Deportation to help the families of those who were affected by those raids. And we're joined now in the studio by Eliezer Posada of El Centro Hispano. ElCentroNC.org is their website. Eliezer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, whoops, let me turn on your mic. Eliezer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
So, tell us about the state of things in the Triangle and Orange and Durham counties in particular. Mm-hmm. What has happened and what is the impact that it's having locally?
Yes. So as you mentioned, last week ICE decided that they were going to increase raids in North Carolina. And what we're seeing in the Triangle, I just had a meeting with some of our partners here locally, and numbers are still unclear as to how many people were actually arrested here in the Triangle. In Orange County, there's estimate about 10 to 15 people. In Durham, we have at least 20 confirmed arrests, and in the Raleigh area, we have at least 15 confirmed arrests. So we're looking at a lot of folks in this area who were detained either on their way to work, being arrested at their workplace, and a lot of this is still unclear as to how many more families we're working with or we're going to have to be able to work with. At the moment, we have five different organizations working in the Triangle with helping out families, grassroots organizations, and nonprofit organizations working with folks. So we're trying to still compile a list of people that we need to talk to and help out.
I want to go back and underscore the fact that we don't know exactly how many people have been arrested. That alone, independent of everything else, is just staggering.
It is. I don't know if you saw the press conference by the director, the field director, who said he at least 200 people up to Thursday of last week were arrested, but we have confirmed at least 225, including some of the arrests that happened in Sanford that Elena was helping in. But when we ask for numbers for the agency, how many people are arrested in the area, we're not even asking for names or locations. We're just asking to let us know how many people we need to look out for. We just keep getting you're not privy to that information. Though, if I come up with a name, they can say, yes, well, we do have this person, or no, we don't have this person, but they won't give me any additional information about that.
And in that press conference, the field director was very insistent that, well, gosh, our hands are being forced, and we're just enforcing mm-hmm. the law, and this is what we absolutely have to do. But take him at his word. Part of law enforcement is at least keeping track of the number of people that are being arrested, and that's not what's happening in this case. This does not seem to be the rule of law here.
No, and we're seeing all this quote-unquote collateral damage, is mm-hmm. what the director was talking about, where folks who are not being looked for, or not part of on the radar for ICE or immigration law enforcement, they're still being arrested simply because, quote-unquote, they're at the wrong place at the wrong time, right? So we're still looking at what this whole means in this new normal that he established. And one thing that is clear, it's a retaliatory measure after at least four newly elected black sheriffs have stopped working with ICE, and different other sheriffs have decided to decrease or eliminate their cooperation with the federal law enforcement because they believe, you know, federal law should be governed by federal agencies, and state and local law enforcement should focus on state and local folks.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to be the case, and you can confirm this, that in spite of that, the push is for these sheriffs to reinstate the 287G program, or in the case of Orange County, to start cooperating, mm-hmm. which we hadn't done before. And using this as kind of the carrot to make that happen. But everyone I've talked to who works with the immigrant community, Alana DeBester yesterday, has been saying the same thing, which is, regardless of what the retaliatory measure ends up being, we don't want sheriffs to be participating in this program, right?
Exactly, because yes, even though, you know, this is horrible and this, we're running around trying to help families and it's creating a panic, when 287G's wasn't, 287G contracts were instated, thousands of families were being separated a year, mm-hmm. right? And what is just so flabbergasting from the director was that he just straight up said, you know, this is what we're doing because you refuse to work with us. That's just not right.
How are individuals or families experiencing this? What has been their experience?
Well, we're seeing a lot of folks just panicking, right? We have a lot of people putting out rumors and we're trying to confirm them as much as possible and trying to decrease the amount of panic that currently exists. But the families are directly affected. In many cases, you know, it's the sole breadwinner who was taken away. So now I was just talking to a family this morning with the husband was arrested. The wife has two kids. One of them is six. The other one is just a couple of years old. He's 2 years old. And now they're asking us for help to, like, be able to pay rent and bills because he was the sole breadwinner. So now we have a family with two young children who don't know if they're going to have to move their things out of the apartment because how are they going to pay rent if they don't have anybody being able to provide for them? And we have another case where a father was arrested and the mother had just had a premature child and the child was still in the hospital and the mother had surgery in order to have the child, and she wasn't able to get out of bed, and no one's good visiting the young kid at the hospital, and now the father is arrested on his way to work. So these are all, you know, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of mothers with children left behind at the moment. So one of our biggest pushes right now is to identify what is the need at this level, right? So we are working on legal fund, but the most immediate need right now is, like, we've had calls for diapers, we've had calls for baby food, we've seen a lot.
Yeah, speaking with Eliezer Posada, and again, elcentronc.org is the website for El Centro Hispano. So what can individuals do? How can people help? I know a lot of people, especially in this community, are looking at what ICE is doing and are opposed to it, would be an understatement way of putting it. What can we do to push back? What can we do to help families and people who are being affected by this?
Yeah, well, so there's several things that folks can do. One, and when we're talking about immediate response, is if you hear of a instance that is occurring, please, if you're able to verify that, and then send out that information, mm-hmm. right? Whether that's taking a video, taking photos, obviously at a safe distance so no one is hurt in this process, because we have seen folks who are attempting to videotape the officers and getting too close, and then they were also arrested. So we just want to take folks to make sure that you're safe, but also, you know, verify the rumors before sending them out. Two is definitely calling your local law your local officials, talking to elected officials at all levels, and, like, letting them know that this is not okay, that we want answers. That's an advocacy perspective, as well as joining a lot of the grassroots organizations who are out there marching and protesting what is going on, and, you know, trying to give some voice to those who are not heard in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And third, you know, in the more long term, these families are going to need a lot of things, right? Just talking to families, there's a long list of stuff, so they can either connect with us or connect with the organization that's working with El Vínculo Hispano, who is working, or Hispanic Liaison in Siler City, or Refugio down in Sanford. We have a list of things we need, and definitely, if you're able to, please donate to the regional fund. These court cases, or not court cases, but the litigation can be up to $15,000 per case, and that's mm-hmm. on the conservative side of folks. So, like, they're going to need a lot of help.
Yeah. So tell us about the regional fund. It's called Liberation, Not Deportation. It launched on Saturday with a goal of $30,000, and you're already almost halfway there, right?
Yes. So El Vínculo Hispano, the Hispanic Liaison, El Refugio, and us decided to join forces and create one regional fund. We didn't think it was going to be productive to have four different organizations running four different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, El Centro Hispano has the capacity to be able to manage this fund, so we're doing all we can to help out the families. The initial goal was $30,000 based on the couple of families that we were working with directly, but over the weekend, the number of families that we have been working more with, at least at the Centro here in Durham, almost tripled. So including some of the folks in Wake County, including some folks in Lee County, Randolph. So even though the fundraiser for $30,000, we might have to increase that. Although we have seen very good response for community members, right? So we are, as you mentioned, about $13,000 at the moment, which is wonderful. And we are also working with lawyers to make sure that they decrease the price as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, we understand that sometimes these lawyers have to travel all the way to Stuart, Georgia, where the majority of folks are going to be sent off to be able to litigate the case. And that's sometimes two different trips. So, and that's, you know, last minute trips are not cheap, and we get that. But, you know, we're trying to work with the lawyers, the families, and everyone involved so we can decrease that cost and that impact as much as possible.
What else do people need to know? What else can people do? Where can they go to find information?
Well, definitely El Centro Hispano. We have, they can contact us. We're willing to answer any questions. We have partners like the Hispanic Liaison in Siler City, El Refugio down in Sanford. We have El Pueblo down in Raleigh. But basically, just reach out to any of your local Latinx organizations. We're all in connection, trying to work together and address this as a community. Like I said, we just had a phone call this morning with lawyers and different folks from different organizations, trying to figure out what is going on. As much information we can give you, we're definitely going to provide that. So just ask.
ElCentroNC.org, the website for El Centro Hispano. Get more information there and more information about the Liberation Not Deportation Regional Fund, which is on Facebook, right? You can go to Facebook and just search for that. It'll come right up. Eliezer Posada, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.